Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. Now, all of us have felt stuck at some point in our life. You could have felt trapped by certain beliefs, behaviors, circumstances, or people. It's during those crucial junctures in our life that we need to create a shift so that we can head in a more positive direction. But how do we do it? It sounds simple in theory, but we do need guidance and the tools to make those critical shifts. To help me shed some light on this issue, I invited Mary Lou Falstro, an artist and creator of the Women and the Hourglass series of inspirational art for women. She has taken her life experiences and turned them into 67 images that speak to the heart. Her imagery is bright, playful, honest, and sometimes humorous, but always heartfelt. Her artwork is influenced by her belief that we have the ability to do the same by developing our awareness and to wake up to our own power and potential. Life is essentially an inside job. You can learn more about Mary Lou and view her artwork on her website, mfalstro.com. That's mfalstreau.com. Please join me for this beautiful and heartwarming conversation that I had with Mary Lou, where we discuss her work and how we can glean inspiration from her personal philosophy about how we can all change the flow of time and start anew by developing our awareness and choosing a different direction, thought, or perspective. Hi, Mary Lou. How are you?
I am well, Celine. So nice to meet you and to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, I'm excited to be speaking with you today about your work and to learn more about the inspiration that drove you to create such beautiful artwork.
Thank you.
Yeah, and my listeners and I are eager to hear about, you know, your thoughts and perspective on how to create a positive shift in our lives, whether it's through art or through other mediums.
Well, I am happy to share what I've learned. It's been an interesting process creating the Women in the Hourglass series and shifting myself. So I don't have all the answers, but I'm happy to share what I know.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so let's get started. So as you mentioned, you came up with the whole concept of women and the hourglass after it entered your consciousness in a dream that you had back in 2010. Could you please share what that dream was like and what prompted you to explore it more?
Well, the dream was really interesting. It was unlike any other dream I'd had before. I was sitting around a conference table with a group of women, and we were leaning into each other. It almost felt like we were breathing the same air. I felt very connected to these women. And when I woke up, I remember the words, women, an hourglass. And at the time, I was selling my artwork in art shows professionally around California here in the States. And my theme had gradually been shifting over the years towards women and spirituality and consciousness. And so when I recalled these dreams when I woke up, I went into action mode and tried to understand what they meant to me and my creativity. And of course, women goes without saying anything. I'm a woman. I relate to women. But the hourglass was a whole different thing. And I been exploring it for the past 10 years and come up with a few ideas, but the dream didn't give me all the information. Mm-hmm. I didn't know exactly what I was to do with it, but I knew I needed to do something. And then that's when I started exploring and actually creating the first images of the women in the hourglass series.
Yeah. How did you know that it was significant?
I knew it was significant because of the quality of the dream.
Right.
It was so different. The colors, everything were different. And also at that time in my life, I was very much looking for signs and guidance. I was struggling as a woman myself and being a very intuitive person and also trying to find meaning in experiences. I didn't take this dream lightly. I took it as a dream that I needed to pay close attention to.
Okay. So you were, at the time, you were looking for inspiration. You were looking for guidance.
Absolutely, I was. I was, you know, I'm older. I'm 65 years old now.
Oh, okay.
And at the time, and
you
at the
time. You look good for your age, I have to say.
Well, thank you. It's because I haven't stopped moving and I probably won't. But at the time, somebody that I loved dearly was struggling with addiction. Mm-hmm. And I, as a woman, had been doing everything I could to help save this person, to come up with the right answers or the right type of guidance. And I just was having no success at all and was somewhat desperate and worn out and frazzled. Mm-hmm. And that's why my artwork was making the shift towards women and women's issues.
Right.
And also why I was really asking for help. And I guess that's probably, as I'm saying it now, why the dream happened, because I was seeking guidance and seeking inspiration.
Right.
Let me say very briefly now, this person is doing great.
Oh, that's
sober. Cool. And
yeah.
Yeah. Just wonderful, wonderful transformation. So that's the good news about the story.
Okay. It had an happy ending. So
it did.
Okay. Great. So I'm curious, what does the hourglass represent and how can it be a symbolic source of inspiration for us?
This is something, obviously, I spend a lot of time thinking about and talking about when I lead my workshops. I put this out to my women and they sometimes come back to me with interesting ideas. But the clearest thing I can say, because the hourglass represents time passing, is that now is the time for us all to wake up.
Mm,
and now is the time that life is an inside job. It's our responsibility. We can find the tools in our world around us if we are awake. Mm-hmm. And if we are in conversation with people. But the hourglass specifically, I wish I could show you one, because it's such a great visual. But if you could see me holding the hourglass, you'd see that the top portion of it, to me, represents all those little grains of sand represent patterns of behavior. Mm-hmm. And history and memories that we've collected and accumulated that basically have defined us and informed our lives. So picture those, that all of those grains of sand coming down to the middle, to the smallest point of the hourglass where one or two grains can flow through. To me, that represents now. That represents the current moment. And all of the power lies there. So if we are conscious and aware in the moment, and we hear this a lot, it's almost trite when I say it, but if we are aware of what we do, say, feel, think, act on during that moment, we can actually inform our future. We can change the story and change those patterns of behavior. And then if we mess up, and we do something, make a choice, a decision, say something that doesn't feel good, doesn't feel right, we can turn the hourglass over and start fresh.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I never thought about an hourglass that deeply.
Me neither until now. I mean, because it's part of my life. So I think about the hourglass all the time.
Oh, that's beautiful. And yeah, because you mentioned, I think I read this somewhere on your website, that we all have the ability to change the flow of time and start anew by developing an awareness and choosing a different direction, thought, and perspective. So I think this ties in with that whole hourglass imagery and concept that you just talked about, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It does. But then the question becomes, and I think you mentioned this to me before, is how do we do that? And
yeah,
I think,
how do we do that?
How do we do that? Developing a practice of awareness. Boy, in this fast-paced world, it is so difficult to slow down and calm ourselves down. But there are myriads of books and videos and people like you mm-hmm. that are putting this message out into the world. A meditation practice is worthy of our time and our focus. Learning about mindfulness, returning to nature, trying to understand ourselves enough to find the things that we need to do to calm ourselves down.
Yeah.
And when we are able to calm ourselves down and be aware of actually how we're feeling and what we're saying and how we're treating other people and how we are in the workplace, how we are in our families, when we start being aware of the words that are coming out of our mouth and how we move through the world, we can then make different choices. And that's where the hourglass comes in, that small point in the middle of the hourglass where just a few grains of sand flow through is where we can be before we speak, mm-hmm. before we make a decision. And that can change everything. And it's huge. It may take a lifetime to develop these skills.
Oh, yeah.
And some of us get really... Yeah, some of us get really, really frustrated and think we have really blown it if we're not perfect. And that's such a crazy thing because we don't have to be perfect, but we can be awake in a moment. And then maybe we're not for the next 10 moments, but then we can be awake again. And that can change everything. It can change our lives. It can change the lives of the people that we love. And this calming down can actually change our communities. And, you know, I'm a real Pollyanna, as they would say. I think it can actually change the world.
No, I agree. I mean, if we take care of our own consciousness, I mean, it will affect the global consciousness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have to stop thinking that the person next to us is responsible for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We must take responsibility for that ourselves.
Right. And I mean, this whole talk about mindfulness and slowing down, I have to admit, even I found that really difficult in the past. And it's only recently that I started slowing down and meditating. And it's very challenging to do with the current pace of the world, with, you know, with the technology, with the internet, and everything's so much faster now. So people have to make a conscious effort to actually stop and really tune in to their inner world. You know, it's not easy, but it can be done. And if we have beautiful imagery like the hourglass, that could really help.
Absolutely. And I think what we are not doing often enough is calling all of this technology an addiction.
Yeah.
I think we are addicted to our phones and the news and our tablets and all of the technology that we have available to us. And I find when I calm down and I'm really, really itching to pick up my phone and see if I got any email messages or anything I need to act on, that feeling is so strong. It's no different than wanting to eat a chocolate cake or have a drink or eat some potato chips or buy something.
Yeah.
It is a real addiction and it has power over us. And so when we are able to name that it actually has power over us and we don't want to be that rat on the treadmill. I don't know if that's the correct picture, but
yeah.
Going round and round and round in circles, then we must say, done. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to buy into this. And when you start breaking those habits and those addictions, then you can have that moment of silence, moment of peace.
Yeah, it's almost like you got to take back your power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can be controlled by the outside world, and not only technology and all of the news and everything, but we can be controlled by what's going on in our circle of friends, our families, our work environment, and be so captured by the drama and the noise of it that we completely lose sight of ourselves and what we contribute to the whole.
Right, right. Yeah, I've noticed that you've addressed some of the common issues that we face, and women more specifically. You know, you've covered it in your cards and your paintings, and I absolutely love it. What are the specific issues that you think women have to deal with?
I like this question, by the way. It got me to thinking about what the Hourglass series is on a different level. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole series is about returning to ourselves, because we as women are always waiting for something outside of ourselves or someone to do better. We are just swirling around, fixing, saving, cleaning up, holding up. We, on some level, feel like, I believe, that if we can control the aspects outside of ourselves, we will feel better and life will be calm and everything will be okay. But at this stage in my life, I understand that nothing is ever going to be completely smooth sailing. There's always going to be conflict in the people that I love's lives, mm-hmm. in with my work, with the world. And so the words, actually the first three images I created, the first one was, one day she woke up and discovered she'd grown wings, because I feel like in my particular situation, I hadn't honored myself as a woman. And I think most of us don't. So I wanted to honor myself. And that's what the wings had to do with. And the second one was, one day she woke up and decided to love herself more than she ever thought possible. And that is a journey, boy. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that even mean? And again, it may take a lifetime to understand what that means to us personally. I know for sure from trying on a lot of different things, it doesn't have to do with eating something or going someplace or buying something. It has to do more with an internal life. The third one was, one day she woke up and opened her hands to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the whole series is basically about. Receive for yourself what you wish for, hope for, work for other people in your life outside of yourself. One of the things about loving a person who was an alcoholic, and also my father was an alcoholic, mm-hmm. is that I scrambled trying to do everything perfectly,
right,
and fix things. And that was the biggest awakening. That will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
People will wake up in their own time. People will be influenced by other people than me.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a big, huge ego thing to think that I'm going to do it all.
Right.
They will be influenced by other people and situations. But what I could do, I can do, is I can go back to myself. And when I start healing myself, when I start becoming healthier and easier to move through life in a more grounded way, I can actually be a role model, and I can help change things for the people in my family, my work, because of what they observe and what they actually feel. So that's what the Hourglass series is about. It's all about you. It's not being selfish. This will heal you. We have so many diseases, but mostly women have it right now.
Yeah.
Fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome,
right.
Even diabetes. I think, I'm not sure, but I think there are more cases of diabetes now for women than before. And I know that has to do with diet, but it's also being so completely depleted and run down.
Right.
And I think we have to look at it I think we have to look at it.
Absolutely. And I love that you're bringing all these issues up. And I think it's because women have been conditioned to be caretakers and to make sacrifices and to not really think about themselves and, you know, what they want and how they can contribute towards society. So I think this is an awakening that's been happening over the past couple of decades.
It has. But what's happened is that we have, as women, have taken on more and more. We went from the traditional roles of being homemakers and mothers and wives. And then we got into the workforce because of a variety of different situations. And now we've taken on the world. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have the weight of the world on our shoulders because we still do all of those things and work. And now we're taking on responsibility.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're good at it. That's the problem is we're so good at so many things. I just think women are amazing, but we have to take care of ourselves so we can still be here.
I totally agree with you. We need to drop some of those balls and take care of ourselves.
Absolutely. And this is a challenging time because our world is calling us. In our countries, you know, political situations, our leaders, and more women are now stepping up to the plate politically. So that's another role, another layer. Okay, so within all of this, how can we breathe and take care of ourselves?
Yeah, you're totally right about that. Now, you've also written a book with your husband, Alan Fulstrow, called The Stories mm-hmm. You Tell, where you share stories about understanding, healing, and joy. Besides reading heartwarming books like this one, what can people do to counteract the negative stories from the media and other sources that might scare them?
Well, this all relates to what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. We must make personal choices and decisions with our time, with our activities, what we speak of. This stuff is not being broadcast over loudspeakers in our cities. We make a choice to turn on the news and then become captivated by the stories. It's just crazy now. It's like watching soap operas, it's hard to look away.
Yeah, especially now, the current, you know, the current political climate, it's all sensationalism now.
It's all sensationalism. And we as human beings love stories.
We do, yes.
And so we love stories and we think about what this person did and that person did. And oh my goodness, and we get drawn in the same way we used to get drawn into soap operas back in the day.
Yes.
And sometimes it's hard because the line is blurred of what is real and what isn't. But to be aware of how much time you spend watching this stuff, listening to this stuff. And then now even our phones, when we turn them on, have news feeds. So how much time do we want to engage with that? Even if something as simple as being in a grocery store and you see a person down at the milk aisle, that is, if you run into them, they're going to grab you and you're going to be stuck there for 20 minutes talking about not necessarily political affairs, but all of the drama in their life and the illness and the things that aren't working. Mm-hmm. You have a choice to walk to the other end of the store and not engage. And I think of it as self-protection. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this is just coming in. It is coming into our cells and our bodies and our minds and becomes overwhelming. And the thing is, we can learn everything that we need to know to be engaged citizens and aware of what's going on within probably a half an hour, maybe even 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's enough. But again, it's a choice. And that book, thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah.
It's The Stories You Tell That Color Your Life is actually the whole title. Mm-hmm. And just think about that. It's the stories you tell that color your life.
So the personal narrative in your mind.
In your mind, in your vocabulary,
yeah.
The people that you are with, and the whole awareness thing, becoming aware of the hourglass and what's going on in the moment, be aware of the stories that you tell, and then you can be aware if you are telling them over and over and over again, and if there's any room for any other kind of story in there. And as far as our political climate, there are a lot of people that are saying that, yeah, things are crazy right now, but this is what has to happen in order for big change to happen. This is evolution. This is things break down before things get better. And so telling that story feels way better than, oh my gosh, everything's falling apart. Nothing will ever be right again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a decision, and it's being aware.
Yes.
And it takes practice.
It does. It definitely does. I think it's just about being conscious, being aware, you know, just, and being willing to really listen to yourself and the stories you tell yourself.
You tell yourself and you tell others.
Yes, and tell others. Yes.
Right. We are so good at judging what other people are doing and saying and how negative they are. But real awakening comes when we realize that we're telling stories too. But we give ourselves a pass. We give ourselves a break. But we judge the people outside of us that are doing the same thing, maybe in a different way.
Right.
But the same thing. And that is being awake means taking responsibility of what we contribute to the world and telling the truth about it. You know, we hide, we lie to ourselves and we lie to others. We have this active mind and this active conversation that's going on inside of us all that may be really negative, may be a real downer, but we can smile and say the right things to people's faces or in certain situations. And I've done that myself.
Yeah.
Especially with women in the Hourglass series, people expect me to be always a certain way. And I can tell you here and now, I am not.
Okay.
And being honest and it helps others and it helps ourselves. So this is not about being perfect. This is about growing and developing and doing better.
What are some of the tools that people can use to begin making that shift and begin just being more conscious of the stories that they're telling themselves? Do you have any specific tools or things that they can start doing?
Well, all of the things we've talked about really are the tools, and there are other tools that will present themselves once people step into this world, into this path of really wanting this for themselves mm-hmm. and for their world. They'll come across people that inspire them, and some of the YouTube videos that are out are amazing. Things will just appear that will help people. But again, I would say starting in the moment, maybe if you can't meditate, maybe going for a walk, a peaceful walk, maybe going into nature, creating space where you can actually hear yourself think and feel your breath and feel your body. Yoga is great for this. Tai Chi. Walking, like I said, any kind of movement that is not frenetic. It's not about making your muscles harder and harder and getting stronger and stronger. It's about feeling yourself, feeling yeah. your body, feeling your muscles.
Yeah. I did this very simple thing of starting to have a short walk in the evenings. And that's done miracles for me because it really grounds me after a day of a lot of thinking, like writing and just work in the office, and just that walk, just being out in fresh air and, you know, listening to some music while I walk, it's just completely changed my whole energy field because it grounds me.
Mm, it sounds lovely. And I do the same thing in a different way. It's crazy weather here now in California, really cold and wintry and snow coming in tomorrow. And so the walking in the evening is not possible, but the habit that I've gotten into, even when it's warm, is I come upstairs to a space that I've created that is very calm and peaceful, and I'm alone.
Hmm.
And last night I came up at 5:30 in the evening, and I go to bed really early, between 8:30 and 9, because I'm up before dawn. I'm one of those early to bed, early to rise people. But I meditate, I do yoga stretches, I move very slowly. Sometimes I will watch a YouTube video or read a book, but I spend 2 to 3 hours in solitude. And I watch the news when I get home from work, and we have dinner, but that's it. I just create space. Doesn't have to be that long for everybody, but for me, especially since I'm at this age and I'm not on the retirement plan, or, you know, what most people do at my age, I'm on the creating tract and working every day tract. I must create space and have some quiet. So that's what works for me. So I love that you're out walking. I love what I'm doing, and everybody can create what works for them in the evening, and paying attention to how you feel when you do things, when you're walking. Do you feel calm, or are you anxious about what you're not doing at home? Well, then maybe you need to find something else that will engage you a little bit more and take your mind away from your to-do list. It's a process. It's a process of learning.
Yeah. Also having, you know, powerful imagery, like what you have in your artwork and affirmations, I think that would also really help people to get into that space.
I think so too. And people are always searching for some sort of connection, something that will shift them, whether they know they are looking for that or not. The person who on their walk that notices a rose and they stop and they really look at that rose and smell that rose is a person, whether they know it or not, who is looking for something to break the pattern and something they can be grateful for and something that's beautiful. Going to a beautiful movie or a performance or reading a good book is a conscious decision for a person to step outside of their everyday routine and be inspired. And you asked me about the Women in the Hourglass series with the imagery, the painting, mm-hmm. and then the words layered on.
Yes.
And I think the reason why I do that just naturally, intuitively, well, one reason is because it's narrative in nature. And I love words. I love stories. And I also love painting. So, and my paintings tell stories most of the time. So the words coming together with the paintings is just the way I work. But also, people sometimes connect to words more than art. So it's another way to access a moment of inspiration when looking at my artwork. Some people are more inspired by the artwork mm-hmm. rather than the words.
Yeah.
That's how they connect. So it actually, I think, creates a broader audience and multiple ways for people to experience my work. And this is such an ancient thing. Incorporating words into art has been going on forever and ever as people want to connect and tell stories.
Right. So, I personally love the affirmations that you use. I mean, I'm a words person, so I love the imagery too.
So you like this? Well, here's the deal. I'm not the best artist in the world. My work is really primitive in nature. I'm not trying to get things perfect. I'm not trying to draw a perspective or win some sort of prize for my art, but it's simple enough and colorful enough that the words with the imagery integrated, it works. It's not like one overwhelms the other. And the affirmations are something I need to pay more attention to. I've actually been thinking that I don't have card decks. I have affirmation card decks, Woman in the Hourglass affirmation mm-hmm. card decks, but
yes.
One that has been around for a while now. And then we just introduced a new one. And I thought, I need to get a couple of those card decks up in my upstairs space and spend more time with those cards because I know how helpful they are to people.
Yeah. I mean, what's that saying? We teach what we most need to learn. Something like that.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's because it's captivating us. Whatever we're trying to teach has captivated us enough so that we're trying to gather more information and learn. And that's why it's a really tricky business when we hold people who are teachers accountable when they get off course, because we are all just human beings doing the best we can, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, that brings us to the end of this very inspiring conversation. Mary Lou, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah.
I love the work you're doing.
Thank you. And I just have to say, you have the most calming and soothing voice I've heard.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm glad. And may I say something to the people who are listening? Because I feel like the Women in the Hourglass series, well, we shipped to so many different countries. We shipped to Russia and to Brazil and to Australia and, so many countries, Germany, France. And I feel like it's universal. I feel like even though we are in different places, we are all going through the same stuff. So if you are interested in learning more, my website is www.m, that's M as in Mary, Falstrow, M, F as in Frank, A, L, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, reau.com. You can tell I have to spell my name out a lot,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And
I've had a blast. Thank you,
yeah,
Celine.
I had a great time. And I so appreciate you being here and sharing your wisdom with me and my listeners.
Well, you are quite welcome, and thanks for all of the work you do.
Oh, no problem.
I wish you well.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Celine. Bye.
Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.